Colleen Rafferty, Career Development Coordinator for Long Realty, a Berkshire Hathaway affiliate in Arizona, wrote me the following in response to my question last week. And the question last week was, what rules or principles guide you in your follow-up calls or interviews with candidates? And she's a recruiting coordinator, and she wrote, quote, I have the word listen in bold letters next to my computer, so that when I'm talking to a candidate, I see it clearly, and it reminds me to listen in every conversation. And the next is, quote, I treat everyone as if they're the best candidate I ever had to look for. And then I look for positive in every call. Then I proceed from there. So she does that before she ever picks up the phone for each candidate, rather than expecting the worst and working from there. So why do you believe these two rules are so effective? Well, Colleen has been doing this for a long time. Long Realty have been clients for a few years now, and she's learned something that very few do, that the best, brightest, and savviest candidates are perhaps also the ones who are most likely to be testing you more in those initial moments of interaction than any other candidates. In other words, for savvy candidates, the first few conversations are small tests, tests that will help them discover and assess if this opportunity is really worth considering. Remember, talented people have options, and lots of options. And when people have options, the last thing they want is to be sold on something, or for them to be the number one person who's being assessed. Only people without options respond to this or put up with it. So because it's a test of you and your company, in order to pass the test, you must be more interested in knowing them and solving their problems than you are in solving your own problem for that particular minute, that day, that year. So if your problem is lack of time, feeling rushed, or not wanting to waste your time on a bad interview, your attitude in approaching the interview will undoubtedly be skeptical and scrutinizing, as well as rushed and impatient. Not a good starting place for the brightest candidates. The reason that this attitude may work some of the time is that the less talented candidates with fewest options, in their desperation, will put up with more of this behavior than their less respect than respectful conditions. So Colleen reminds herself to listen and expect greatness. Let's take one at a time. What creates resistance to practice these two rules? So listen. What happens when you listen first? A whole bunch that I've described in previous editions. Why do people resist this rule of listening? Many feel that they're no longer the hero of this discussion if they're not listening, no longer the expert. So they talk and talk and talk. And ironically, the brightest candidates see through this and are much more likely to see you as the hero if you just listen really well. Treat everyone as the best. That's the second one. So why is there resistance around this? The resistance to this is that at times some will feel like their time is not being respected, that they're a fool for wasting time with poor candidates. These interviewers have lost the big picture and ruined each interview because of a few bad ones. This is equivalent to a gold miner feeling like a fool for digging 100 yards of dirt to get $1,000 worth of gold. These two rules are definitely in the running for the top four. I encourage you not to be shy. Let me know the rules that guide your calls and interviews. And until next time, try these. Listen and expect the best.